love that song. That's lovely. I'll have to remember that. So this month we are discussing giant gentleness. That is the theme of the magazine this month. Do you get the magazine? Who gets the Science of Mind magazine subscription? Yay! Okay, I'm gonna sign up all of the rest of you that don't. Because I really do. You know, it's gonna be 100 years of continuous publication for the Science of Mind magazine in 2027. Yeah, in 2027, that'll be 100 years. So if you don't get it right now, see me after and I'll sign you up and you'll get it too, because it's a lovely magazine, tells you all about what we talk about, really, because we align with those monthly themes. So this month's theme is giant gentleness. And so I thought I would take a look at gentle strength, right? That's kind of an odd little thing. What does that mean to be gently strong or strongly gentle? I don't know. So one of the quotes in meditation this morning that Marcus read was from St. Francis de La Sales. And he was an interesting character. He revived Catholicism in a strongly Protestant area, right? His ministry was right smack in the middle of a Calvinist stronghold, which I thought was hilarious. You know, I mean, like, it was after the Protestant Reformation, so there was just this large group of Calvinists, and this is in the Chablis region, northern France, Switzerland, you know, the border town, and that's where his ministry was. And so it was his job to convert Calvinists back, to bring them back into the fold, bring them back into the Catholic Church. Wow. Tough job. I wouldn't want it. Right? Trying to convince people to come back into the Catholic Church after the Protestant Reformation. Okay. And the thing was, he was known for his gentleness. That's why I loved that quote this morning. Before meditation, he was known for his gentle ways, the fact that he never lost his patience, he was always good-humored, he was always so gentle and patient with people, with children that he came across, and they didn't want anything to do with him. Really, they would throw rocks at him and tell him to go away. I mean, it was just a real awful, awful ministry, I guess. Anyway, he was convinced that God saw humanity as just a great varied garden. And all of us were individualized flowers, unique in our own way. Sounds very religious science, doesn't it? Sounds like us, you know? That everyone is just beautiful, various flowers of the field, and that God loves us all. This is very new thought for a Catholic priest. Anyway, he also said, through our callings, whatever they are, warrior or police or fire or, you know, widow or soldier, whatever our calling was, that we were these various flowers of the field. And that we were all loved. And that each person can find a deeper friendship, a deeper relationship with the divine through whatever it is that we did. So in his effort to bring people back into the Catholic Church, he created pamphlets, little tracts, right? We've got him to blame. Anyway, or credit, I mean, however you want to look at it. He created those little pamphlets, and he would go door to door, and he would slide them under the door because nobody would talk to him. And if they did, it wasn't nice. So he was the one who created those little religious tracts. And he would slide them under the door, and he would go door to door and doing things like that. So he also got in touch with a deaf community, and he created his own version, probably the first version of sign language, so that he could communicate with the deaf in order to bring these people back in to the Catholicism, right? And it is said in his story that his gentle approach, the fact that he never lost his temper, he was always kind and gentle, he played with the kids, that he won over families, kids and parents. And it is said in his biography that he returned some 60,000 people back to the Catholic Church. So he was, he became a saint. He was canonized after his death, and he is the patron saint of adult education, the deaf, and journalists. And what was really interesting was for someone to be known for that. Known for his gentle ways, he said that his faith enabled him to overcome his quick temper. Now, that's the part that I want to get into. Because can you feel that? Right? Can you feel that that is one of the things that we do with our spiritual path? Is that we grow out of those habit behaviors. That's one of the things that we do. Listen right to his quote. Nothing is so strong as gentleness. Nothing so gentle as true strength. Right? So he got it through his faith tradition to shed our bad habits or our, whatever you want to call them, unskilled behavior. To be able to respond instead of just react. Because don't we do that? Right? That we fall into that attack-defend mode. And that's what we do. We feel attacked, we defend, attack, defend, attack, defend. It's like it doesn't go anywhere. It just goes back and forth like that. And when you feel attacked, what do? You defend yourself, right? Somebody throws a rock at you, like most of the times we want to just pick it up and throw it back, you know, or kind of give them a half a peace sign or something, you know, some kind of like, let's get back at these people. But he learned, right? He learned because of that spiritual path. We learn to shed those things. We learn to interrupt the cycle of attack-defend. Because really, the attack-defend paradigm is really about our ego, more than our spiritual self, right? Our little ego stands in front like Mighty Mouse going, you can't do that to me. Don't you know who I am? You know, and right? And so we fall into that thing, and there's just no answer for that. There's no end to it at all. So it is our desire when we get into a spiritual path like this, when we begin down this road of spiritual enlightenment, that's why we're here, to look at those things, to start pulling those things up, to start looking at our attack behaviors or our defense behaviors, looking at both of them. To begin to interrupt that pattern, to begin to interrupt our own patterns, to make wiser choices based on who we truly are as spiritual beings and not just our ego-driven selves who we have to win, we have to be right, we have to be better, you know, all that stuff, right? We can put that aside, and the way we do that is through our spiritual practice. We interrupt those cycles, and it's the gap, right? We've talked about that before. The gap, GAP, God's area of preparation. I love that. God's area of preparation. That's that moment, right, between attack and defend right away where we lengthen that gap. And that happens because of our spiritual practice. We grow that gap because of our spiritual practice. We don't have to react right away. We can respond. We take those few seconds. We grow those seconds between the attack. So it's not a reaction, it's a response, right? We just grow that gap between cause and effect so that we can respond to our situation and not just react. Because when we do that, we're just, it's almost like, you know, the hot stove, right? We just, you know, really, really reaction very, very quickly. When we can take in what's been said to us or whatever and then breathe through it, we can respond instead. We can respond with love. So we're not just going off on people, right? When something awful happens, we're like, ah, you know, and we lose our minds and then we start yelling at people or, you know, going wild. Unforeseen circumstances befall us all. We don't have to buy into that just going off. In Help for Today, Ernest Holmes said this. He said, when angered or hurt, we have been advised to stand still and slowly count to 10 before we speak, right? We've all heard that. But he goes on to say, this is sound advice, but let us take it a step further and learn to become still long enough to tune into God's ever-present counsel of wisdom. That's really what we're doing. He goes on to say, love and understanding, right? Love and understanding comes through. By becoming still within and recognizing the presence of God, we are immediately comforted. And if such recognition and awareness is sustained, those inner problems are resolved, right? You know, right? You know how that goes. You know, when somebody's like, like losing their mind and blaming you, you know how those people will do that sometimes? And if you don't attack back, if you don't defend right away and start name-calling them back, right? If you open up your heart, right? That's where the love is, right there. And you realize that hurt people hurt people, right? Hurt people hurt people. So we can respond with empathy. We can respond with love. We can respond with joy. We can respond with understanding. We're at choice because we're doing our work. This spiritual path enables us to know we're healing our hurt places inside so we don't have to react through our unskilled behavior. We don't have to react from our woundedness because we're in this philosophy of healing it. So it's more than 1 to 10. But I do love that. Did you ever do that? Go count to 1 to 10 outside, walk around the backyard because you just want to kill something? Maybe I should speak for myself. breathe. Sometimes 1 to 10 just doesn't cut it, right? So we get still long enough to hear that still small voice. That's why we have the practice we have. That's why we do meditation, so that we can sit in the silence and hear that still small voice. And it does speak to us, and it changes every reaction into a response, right? So that we can allow that space for love to come through. Love to come through. And that will dissolve any of that attack, defend paradigm. It just dissolves it away. I told you that story about going, I was driving up a lane that was just a one-way lane, and somebody came down and like came right in front of my car, and I thought, oh my God, she was gonna hit me, and you know, I was like, ugh. So I stopped, and she went, like, what's wrong with you, lady? And I went, you know, and I'm like looking at the big white arrow that's painted on the ground. I'm like, no, I'm going the right way. You're the one that's, you know, turned right into this lane. So I backed up, and she turned around and turned around and turned around and turned around, finally, because she wanted the space that was going the wrong way. She wanted to get into that angled space, and so she did, and I parked someplace else, and I was walking by her into the store, and I said, gee, you must have had a bad day today, you know, or must have been a bad day for you, something, and she screamed at me, and she said, I was having a great day till I ran across you. Wow. So I thanked her. I thanked her. I was like, oh, thank you. You know, I go around my day, sometimes I forget just how powerful I am. I just forget how powerful I am. I can change your day like that. Wow. And I just like, bye, have a day. You know, what can you say, right? What can you say? But this is what happens when you don't enter into that paradigm. When you don't enter into the attack defend, because I was attacked, boy, I know attack now. That was it. You know, these are the kinds of things when we widen that gap. That's that gentle strength that we have inside of us, right? We don't have to respond. We can choose whatever response we want, right? Because that gap stretches out before us. And we can respond with love or humor or joy or whatever we want. It changes. It changes every reaction into a response. Now, had that been 20 years ago and I was still in New York, I know what response I would have had. And I can't even say it up here. Right? But this is, right, this is a good lesson for us to really develop that gap, to allow that gap to lengthen, to allow love to come through. We allow love to come through. It's a great lesson for us. And the fact that the first steps in our spiritual journey toward giant gentleness, right? Because that's really what we want to be. We want to be gentle through the world. We want to walk softly on the earth. We want to respond to love in every given situation. Sometimes we lose it, but this is really our spiritual path, isn't it? To walk in love with everyone who comes across our path. So it's a good lesson for us. But the thing is, we have to learn it. We have to learn it first, right? We can't be looking out there for it because that's what we get out there. We have to learn it inside. So we practice meditation, we practice affirmations, we practice visioning, we practice going within. We practice being gentle with ourselves first. You have to. How do you know what it feels like if you don't? Right? You have to practice being gentle with yourself first. Ernest Holmes said, "For in the act of prayer and meditation, we do commune with the invisible spirit. We do draw its strength, its peace, and its serenity right into our souls." And that's what we want to develop. That feeling of that oneness, right? We practice meditation so that we are not at the effect of the world, right? Because a lot of times the world shows up like that lady did. You know, a lot of times the world shows up in all of its unskilled behavior. And we don't want to be at the effect of that, so that we don't fly off the handle like that, so that we don't overreact, so that we don't get bossy and rude back and you know, let our little ego mighty mouses, you know, rule, right? We are centered because of our practice. It is because of our spiritual practice, because we've said yes to meditation, because we have said yes to centering, because we've said yes to affirmations and affirmative prayer and demanding from the universe to allow love to flow through us, to allow the truth to flow through us. I like to think of meditation as like the rope that leads down to the anchor, right? The rope or the chain that leads down to the anchor, that's my meditative process. Because even if it's stormy on the surface and the waves are crashing and breaking over the bow and the wind is blowing, when you follow the anchor down to the bottom, down to where it's resting, it's perfectly calm down there, right? The storm is only going on the surface. So our meditation practice then is that anchor chain. It brings us down into the depths of ourselves. That's what our meditation practice does for us. It keeps us anchored at our depth, where the calm is, all the time. And Ernest Holmes in Creative Mind, this, by the way, is the first book he ever wrote, 1919, he said, "The highest attitude from which all else springs is one of perfect calm and absolute trust in spirit." Isn't that just lovely? That's just a wonderful way to go through life, right? You're not bouncing off other people. You're not just reacting. You're not pinballing through life, bouncing off all of the effects of the world. You're going through with your calm, giant gentleness through life. In that place, we get to engage in a world from a peaceful, calm, gentle strength, regardless of what's going on around us. Right? Just regardless of what's going on around us. That's gentle strength. I think that's what we're talking about this month. And Mahatma Gandhi said this. Gandhi said, "In a gentle way, you can shake the world." I love that. So we're not talking about weakness, right? This gentle strength, this calm strength. The world is loud, isn't it? And it's getting louder by the minute, I think. I don't know. Louder than ever before, but I think every generation has said the same thing. I honestly really do. I think probably going all the way back to the dawn of mankind, we've probably always said, "That next generation, oh my God," right? I bet you we just have. I mean, look at back in the 50s when rock and roll came along. Oh my God, you know, we were all going to hell. But it is loud. It is loud, and I think social media has gotten it even louder. It's big, and it's loud, the world outside, and it's abrasive, and it's confrontational, it's insulting, and that's more popular than ever. I mean, just go look on social media. Oh, my God, right? It's just all of our worst qualities come out. I don't know why. Or politics. Look at politics. People are insulting each other and name-calling and doing all sorts of weird stuff. Or television shows. I mean, look at all of it. It's all become very confrontational, very, very abrasive and abusive and loud and obnoxious. I left New York to get away from that stuff. Oh, my God. Anyway, but that big, loud, in-your-face behavior, it's just all around. That might makes right, you know, and we're going to just be bigger and tougher and stronger than the other guy, and we're going to kick him out of the arena and all this stuff. it makes good sense for us to be gentle with ourselves first. Be gentle with ourselves first in a harsh world. But it's gonna take work for us. This is our spiritual practice. It takes work. Working on our sense of self, working on our self-esteem, working on the sense that we are spiritual beings in this world. We are spiritual beings. Practicing being gentle in a world gone mean. How's that sound for a challenge, right? This is what we're doing. We are just practicing gentle in a world gone mean. When we stay centered, it comes from knowing ourselves, because we've done the work, or we're doing the work. We're all in process. It's not really done. Is it ever done? Did you ever say to yourself, oh, I'm done. I'm as spiritual as I'm ever going to be. No. It's always a process. And that process includes healing from our own past. That process includes doing our inner work, right? Healing those places within us where our ego is like screaming, saying, that's not fair, I need to get back at them, you know? It's healing all of those, you know, wounds. That's part of our spiritual practice. And then that inner strength flows through us. It's not being blocked by our own defensiveness. Then our gentle strength just flows through us. It becomes outer gentleness. That's how we show up in the world then, because we don't feel insecure about ourselves anymore. We're doing our work. We're feeling at home in the world. And so we can just allow that peace, that gentleness, to flow from us, to flow out of us, that quality of God. That quality of God power. It's up there. I know it's there. Where is it? Yep, there it is, right at the bottom. Power. That quality of God power, that enables that outer gentleness, doesn't it? Because we have the power of God. This is a gift that's already been given. It's already been given. We just allow it to flow through us. That is our inner strength. It's not ours. It's Spirit's power that we are acknowledging, we are embodying, and we are allowing to flow through us. Right? It's not power over people. It's not forcing our will on people. It's not that kind of power. It's the power to stand in our truth. To allow that power to flow through us is to accomplish what needs to be done by us. Thank you, Emma Curtis Hopkins, right? She always said that, right? To be allow spirit to flow through us to do what needs to be done by us. And Ernest Holmes said this. He said, all power is from within, and our little innermost being is awakened. It's awakened. Weakness, fear, and failure disappear. Love is converted into gain and weakness into strength. We allow ourselves to let the power of God flow through us. In any situation we find ourselves in, this is a gentle strength. This is that strength that knows that we are one with spirit. And of course we become more courageous, don't we? How is it easier for you when you stand in your truth now and say how life is showing up for you? We have the courage to stand in our beliefs. We have the courage to act on our beliefs because we have the power of spirit within us to allow us to stand in the truth. We can defend our barriers without getting hostile, without letting the little ego self, you know, run roughshod over people. We stand in our strength and in our power. We can defend our boundaries without being obnoxious and angry. Right? Standing in our truth. We can do it from a standpoint of love, because it is also another quality of God, right? So we can defend our boundaries. So we can stand in our truth. We can allow power to flow through us and stand in our the truth of our oneness with spirit. Now look, the meek may inherit the earth, but honestly, it also overturned tables in that temple, right? And drove the money changers out with a whip. Come on, let's read the whole thing. They called it righteous indignation. I love that. He was mad. But those are great boundaries, right? That's that inner strength. That comes from that inner strength that we know our oneness with Spirit, knowing when to take action. The inner strength that allows us to live from our best selves, our most evolved self. We've gone through the work. We've healed those past wounds. We're no longer just reacting out of attack, defend. We can smile at people all the time, right? Do you ever smile at people you don't know? Just wave hello. We can feel at home in the world because we're safe. With spiritual power flowing through us, where is there an enemy or anything that could destroy us? There isn't. We are the spiritual power of God in the world. So we can feel at home in the world. Nothing to be afraid of. We can express ourselves and our delights and our opinions and not feel like, oh, I gotta hide my true self or else I won't be accepted, right? Or I'll be rejected. Because all of those things you've healed already. You heal that and you get to be your whole full self out in the world. We can be courageous and compassionate and helpful. And we can practice patience, serve others, be joyful in the world, be the antidote to what's going on social media, right? Show empathy. We can encourage people. We can practice forgiveness. We can practice forgiveness because we know when people attack, it's from their unhealed behaviors, right? It's from their unhealed wounds. It doesn't really have anything to do with us. And then we can apologize when we're wrong. Anybody take on that practice? Don't you love that? Right? Apologizing when you're wrong. Oh, I got really good at that. You know, I mean, like, oh my God, some people would rather die than apologize. It's like, hey, I apologized, I lived. Hey, let's go on, you know? Apologizing when wrong. Having those difficult conversations with people. Right? That's another thing that the power of Spirit allows us to do. We can have those difficult conversations with people. And then, of course, there is knowing when to leave a situation. Knowing when to leave. You don't have to really turn over the tables, but I mean, you can. But knowing when to leave a situation. Ernest Holmes said this. He said, my word is a word of power. For I know that it is the word of the greatest God within me. My word shall accomplish and prosper and shall do good unto all who call upon my name. My word is a tower of strength and cannot be denied. It is complete and perfect right here, right now. My word is the power of God. And that, resting in that, knowing that, practicing that, is where we get all of our inner strength from. Thank you.